Good morning once again, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining us here for another edition of the Daily Bread Broadcast. This is your host, Marcus Brown, reporting. We have been talking, ladies and gentlemen, about divine healing. Healing is available. Different methods through which you and I can receive divine healing. Just to recap, there's one method where personal faith that can be applied, and so we receive by faith. Second method was we're praying one for another, or in other cases, we may just pray in agreement to Matthew 18:19. That's a second case. A third case is where we received anointing with oil by an elder, and that's the third. And the fourth method is the prayer of faith by an administrator, someone who's gifted with faith to be able to receive whatever it is. And so those are four methods. Now we want to go on to a fifth method, and which I call God initiated by a word of knowledge or prophecy. In 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, what we find is that God has given gifts to his church. And so we find then that the Lord has made it possible for individuals to be able to operate in the power of the Lord and to be able to minister to his people. And so he's talking about the gifts, and in verse 9 he says, to another person is given by faith the same spirit, which we just talked about briefly, and to another the gift of healing by the same spirit. I want to go ahead and share, years ago there's a gentleman in the church, he's no longer alive, Worldwide Church of God, but he had the gift of healing, and we'll go places and he would just pray for others, and they would always get healed. That was the gift of healing, and it wasn't him who was doing, obviously that is Jesus, but the point was the Lord had blessed him with that capacity. He was a substitute school teacher, and many times he was telling us, you know, the children would come and say, well, I'm not feeling well, or whatever the situation is. And he said, oh, come here, and he will just go ahead and lay hands on them, pray over them, and they get well immediately. And so my point was that this gentleman, he had that gift. This is one of the gifts that God has made available to certain members in his church. Now, how does he do this? I don't know. As he will, the Bible teaches. And so the point is that the Lord is the one who is doing this through these individuals, and that is the gift of healing in operation. So that's one way for us now to receive. Now, just a side point is, let's say we have individuals in the congregation who are not well, and you have one there that is gifted in that area or in another congregation, and they could just come pray over him and they always get healed. You see, the problem is that sometimes people have so much doubt that it's going to work. No, the one who has that gift will know, and they'll recognize, and they just go and do it. They don't think anything about it, just go on and get it done. And so we ought to be praying that the Lord pour out his gift more on more people, so that the people of God can receive and be blessed. Now, in the book of Acts, the fifth chapter, let's turn to it quickly. The book of Acts, what we're going to find is that God has also, you know, especially in the early days of the church, what he did was he demonstrated another method, which I call being in the glory. You're in the presence of the Lord, and he's ready to just do these things spontaneously. Now, how does it work? I look at Acts chapter 5 and verse 14. Believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. That's what it says in Acts chapter 5, verse 14. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least this shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Now look at what has been taking place. Folks are sick, they just bring them there, and the shadow of Peter passed by, and they get healed. Well, his shadow doesn't have that capacity. It is the power of God operating in what I call the glory of the Lord. And you can read about that glory in Isaiah chapter 40. But I want to go to Isaiah chapter 4 for us to be able to see more clearly that this is going to be something that is going to happen in the end time, ladies and gentlemen, in the end time, or really shortly after the Lord establishes the kingdom of God on earth. Isaiah chapter 4, because what we're going to find is the Lord is going to do something. He says, shortly after the kingdom is established, I'm just giving you a time set, and you see, it shall come to pass, verse 3, Isaiah chapter 4, verse 3. It shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remain in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, after he has punished us because we wouldn't behave, then we said not the kingdom, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. Verse 5 says, and the Lord will create upon every, let's listen to it now, and the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies. Did you know what we mean by that, right? Where you go to church service. And upon her assemblies, a cloud and a smoke by day and a shining of flaming fire by night, for upon all the glory shall be a defense. So God is going to have all the places where we worship, and the glory of the Lord is going to be so strong that everyone who goes there is going to be get well. That's what's going to happen. And verse 6, and there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a cover from the storm and from the rain. The point here, ladies and gentlemen, that we need to look at this verse 6 and look at it more clearly. But the point is that the assemblies is going to be such that the glory of the Lord is going to be present, what we might say in today's language, 24/7. And anybody who goes there seeking the Lord, just like they did in the first temple, they go there and seek the Lord, they're going to get healed. Now, this is when the kingdom of God is established on earth. But I wanted to understand now, you have isolated pockets where this takes place from time to time. And that's what happened in the book of Acts. Now, you may have in the congregation where the power of God is moving and individuals come and they just get healed. Nobody don't have to touch them. Nobody don't have to pray over them. I've seen that happen actually right before my eyes in Orange Beach, California. There's a group called COGWA, which I think is Church of God Worldwide Association. I've only visited them once, where a gentleman, a minister, got healed right before my very eyes. And so my point is that this is done through the glory. That's how it works. And God unilaterally decides he's going to do this. Now, the atmosphere has to be conducive for this to take place. That's my point. And so you need to understand, it's not going to just happen just anywhere. But the point is that the folks who are assembled together must be of one mind, one spirit, one purpose. And here it is, God is blessing them because of what they know, or what I call meeting the requirements. In other words, they come into his presence with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise, and they have that attitude. And God just unilaterally decides to bless them. And that's one of the things that he does. And once again, healing through the glory. And the final method, the seventh method, ladies and gentlemen, for us to be able to receive healing from the Lord by, supernaturally, of course, divine healing, is following instruction of a person, a man of God. In 2 Kings chapter 5, let's turn to that quickly. 2 Kings chapter 5, and we're going to read about a gentleman named Naaman, because he was a Syrian general, Second Kings, and what we find is that he had leprosy. The captain of those, he was a great man in his master's honorable house, because of him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. And so the Syrians now gone out in companies, and he said unto her, the lady, they had one of the young lady brought back as her, captive. And she is assisting Naaman's wife. And verse 3, she said unto her mistress, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And the word God, he says, verse 4, one went in and told the servant, saying, thus and thus, happened in the land of Israel. You can get this assistance there. And the king of Syria said, go now, I'll send a letter. You know, he went ahead and he thought it was a physical thing. He didn't understand how it works. And so he sent a letter, and he sent Naaman there with, assistance, and sent him 10 talents of silver, 1,000 pieces of gold, and so on. He sent him all with all these things because it was work back to them. However, he didn't understand how it works. So he brought this letter from the king, verse 6, saying, now this letter is come unto you. Behold, I have herewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that you may recover him of his leprosy. So what happened? He went, and of course, verse 8 says, and it was so when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes on earth. First of all, he went to the king of Samaria, and he got upset. Well, the word got to Elisha, and so Elisha sent word to him and said, hey, let him come to me. There's a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger out to him and says, hey, go dip 7 times in Jordan. Well, he didn't like that. He thought, I'm a man of authority. And, I thought he was going to come out and call upon God. And the way some people do it today, give very big, long prayers. You remember what I said earlier about somebody who has the gift of healing? They don't take anything about it. They just go on, pray for that person, go on, and the person get healed. Well, here it is. That's what Elisha said. Go tell him to dip 7 times in Jordan. He didn't even go to talk to him himself. He sent his serpent. And so the point is that he wouldn't, he left with a rage. He was upset. And so one of his servants said to him, hey, if he had told you to go do something real powerful, you would have do it. Why not just obey his word? And the point was that he followed the instructions, and he decided to go dip 7 times. And guess what happened? He got healed. Notice that now. He got healed. What is the point? Again, he was given instructions, and he got healed. In John, the 9th chapter, let's turn to the book of John, chapter 9. We're going to see something similar takes place in by Jesus. John chapter 9. And you're going to find that Jesus is going to send this young man to go follow some instructions. Listen to what happened here. The disciples ask him, saying, Master, all right, let's see, verse 6. When he had thus spoken, what happened is that Jesus, he said in verse 4, I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Verse 6, when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And so, this was the man they were asking about, who sinned and so on. But verse 7 says, and he said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Which, what does it mean? It means sent. Here it is, go wash in that pool. And he went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seen. Now, my point is this. Jesus gave him some instructions. He didn't say go wash in the nearest spring or the nearest swimming pool. No, go wash in that pool, and told him where to go. He followed the instructions. Now, what if he hadn't done that? He would not have received. And so my point again is that there are times when God may do this. And because you have some folks who are, a little stubborn, they don't always want to follow instructions. And you're going to find that if you're going to walk in any power, if you're going to receive from the Lord, you're going to have to practice following instruction. And in this case, that was the case. Naaman, he generally knows how to give instructions, but he didn't know how to, he didn't understand fully how to receive. But in any case, he did receive the blessings of the Lord. In that case, he did receive his healing. And so my point again is that there are seven methods. Let's recap in the last three. God initiated by word of knowledge or prophecy. The glory being in the presence of the glory of the Lord. And the seventh one is to follow instruction. Those are the last three of the seven methods we have covered in this series. I pray that this will be a blessing to you. I'd like for you to go and study these scriptures, pray about them, and next time you are seeking divine healing, apply one of these, and let us know what God has done for you. In addition, if you know of anyone who is seeking divine healing, tell them about these things. Encourage them to go and listen to the tapes. They are on the website, and you will be able to receive the same. They will be able to receive the same instruction that you are receiving now. And may God be with you as you listen to this and apply. Thank you so much for joining us.